all things must work together with this image of all these formulas work together.
Mm-hmm.
It shows this order, and it shows that in his faith that all of these things work together because God placed them there. And because we believe that God is love, then all of this must work together for the good, because that's God's intention. God wants everything to work together for us to love him, to love each other, and to work for a world that is in harmony,
yeah,
with nature, with each other.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Nerding Out with That Nerdy Catholic. I'm here with my esteemed co-nerd Cesar. We are continuing our discussion on the history of math, but before we get into it, I want to let you know that if you want to keep up to date with what we're doing, head over to thatnerdycatholic.com and sign up for our email list. I promise we won't do anything nefarious with your email address. We'll just send you one or two emails a month, letting you know when we post new content, new things that we're planning, and just, you know, general things in the world of nerdiness and faith. If you think that we've earned it, we would really appreciate it if you would subscribe to this channel, hit that bell if you want to get a notification on YouTube when we put a new video up, and like this video. You know, the more that you like it and subscribe, the more people see these videos and the more that we can get this stuff out. If you like the merch that we're wearing, you get the Nerding Out, that Nerdy Catholic shirts and mugs. You can head over to thatnerdycatholic.com/merch. And last and not least, if you are listening to this as a podcast, we would really appreciate it if you would rate our podcast on your platform of choice and leave some feedback and comments there as well. Here we are. We're getting pretty close to the modern age.
Yes,
we
are.
Mass. So where are we going today, Cesar?
So today we're going to review the two mathematicians. No, the first one is Gauss. In my view, is one of the greatest of all time, and the other one is Riemann. And so both of them has a lot of contributions to our modern society, you know.
So why do you say Gauss is one of the most important mathematicians?
So because as a mathematician per se, he has a lot of influence in math, physics, and even go a little more further than Newton went to, you know, to give a lot of tool to future physicists, and he also contributed to astronomy too. We will see that. In order to develop, you know, the new technology that we are currently using, no?
Mm-hmm.
And the new knowledge that we acquire, no? Okay, let's dive in.
Let's dive into Gauss.
So Gauss was a German mathematician. He was born in 1777, and you know, he was also a prodigy child, no?
Mm.
His mother and his father, they belong to a, let's say, low income family.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have that much, and they didn't have the means to send him to an important school, you know. So he went to the Lyceum, the school of his village. But what happened is that teacher discovered that he was a prodigy child in mathematics, especially in mathematics, no. So one of the teachers, I think, sent a letter to the Duke of Brunswick, and he was granted, let's say, like a scholarship, mm-hmm. to the at that time it was called Carolinum School or something like that. The idea is that if you remember Carlomagno, who was one of the emperors done on France like 1,000 years ago, because we are talking 1,000, you know, Carlomano is 800 after Christ. So one of his important works that he do is to establish these schools for people to know. You know? And he was sent to this prestigious school. So there he learned a lot. He was given the opportunity by the Duke of Brunswick to learn there, no, and then after that he went to the university, no, and also the Duke of Brunswick grant him the means to study, and he studied math, so he studied math, science, and classical language in the Hanoverian University of Brunswick, no? So, math, science, and classical language. Three things.
Wow. That's a lot.
You know, when I went to the university, just studied one thing. And it was not, it was just electrical engineering. That's it.
Well, yeah, when I was in college, I studied three things, just not at the same time. And I started a couple things, but didn't finish, and I ended up the same thing with a computer science degree.
There you
go. But I couldn't imagine studying those three subjects at the same time.
So, yeah, and so, you know, so different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. He was really, truly prodigy child.
So, well, and it's amazing. You look back, you know, looking back at all the people that we've talked about so far,
mm-hmm.
I think in one way or another, they could probably all have been described as prodigies.
Yes.
And
definitely.
And when you're looking at, especially when you're looking at one subject like math, and you're looking across a very long period of time, we've only talked about a handful of people
mm-hmm.
over 2,500 years.
Yes.
And so, you know, every generation, there's going to be one or two people that stand out in a certain area, and those are the people that really push forward, and they will have an impact on everyone, really, in some ways.
That's true. At the age of 21, he has his PhD. So that's, you know, I would say the. Right now, there are a lot of people that at the age of 21 may have a PhD too, because we do have, but we'll see how, and that's an important characteristic of all these men, no? They want to share what they know.
Mm.
No? They want mm-hmm. to share that they know, and you will see that in Gauss. Gauss was offered to have a position in St. Petersburg in Russia at that time. Of course, with more money, but he was staying loyal to the Duke that, you know, helped him a lot. Mm-hmm. And he entered also to, after several attempts, he entered to the Göttingen University. I'm saying it wrong, probably.
Which it's, one? Where?
So the same name as the observatory, and
Göttingen.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, German is hard. Yeah. for me.
German's hard for everyone.
Yeah,
it's not German.
A little more of his personal life before we go. He was married, and he was married twice. No. His first wife died after giving birth to their last son, and that produces him an impact, no, an impact mm-hmm. on him. And then after that, he married again another woman and had three more kids with this woman. And it is said that, you know, the last daughter, which is Teresa, she was the one that took care of him until his last days, no. And after taking care of him and he died, then she married, no. So just a little context on that one, no. What about his faith? He was always a faithful man, no.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, being German, he was more inclined to be Lutheran. He was Lutheran, actually, you know. He was one of the guys that says God arithmetized. So God makes arithmetic in order to do the work, you know. Mm-hmm. And also he has another quote of him is, I succeed not on account of my hard efforts, but by the grace of the Lord.
Mm.
Now, here is one genius. No, we have to remember that none his mom, actually his mom was illiterate. Mm-hmm. No, and his dad earned his life doing basically manual works. No, for other, and he came from a humble beginning, but he recognized that he was talented not because of him, but because of the grace of God. No,
mm-hmm.
So here is this guy. And we will see how many things he contributes, saying, you know, this is not me. This is something that God gave me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing to consider, no? So contributions from Gauss, of course, he's a mathematician. His large contribution will be in mathematics, no? He have several theorems in arithmetics. So that's why he said, you know, God arithmetizes, because mm-hmm. he saw clearly as arithmetic as the base foundation of all math, which I really agree on this view. Mm-hmm. If you don't understand the arithmetic, algebra, geometry, trigonometry, there's not there.
Right.
And he proved the... So most of these things is going to sound like Chinese. Well, for the Chinese people, of course, you understand. But for me, that I don't understand Chinese, that's... But, you know... He proved the fundamental theorem of algebra, no? And in Disquisition Arithmeticae, which is his book that he published very seldom, by the way, no? He didn't, one of his characteristics is he didn't want to publish something unless he feels that he finished everything and there was no contradictions, no conflicts, no obscure things, no?
Mm-hmm.
So most of the work of Gauss that we know is because post-mortem, we have access to his manuscripts, and then we know that he knows. And one of the things that we notice is that other mathematicians publish their theories, and we go back to Gauss, and he already knows that. Mm. But he didn't publish because he didn't want, unless he understand the whole thing and make sure that everything is there, he didn't want to publish that.
I wonder... You know, what in his personality drove him to that, you know, that need for a level of, maybe even say a level of perfection in the work that he put out.
Yeah, that's true. And we'll see later that Riemann, one of his students, it's also like him. We'll see
later. So that maybe that was a value that he taught as well.
Probably, yes. So he contributed a lot of the prime number theorem, the arithmetic geometric mean, on star foundations. This is very important. He started the foundations of complex analysis, no? So we got the analysis and, you know, in the real numbers, he started foundation of complex analysis, no? Complex is real plus imaginary numbers, no? And that's going to be fundamental for his successor Riemann. We will see that. He started systematic treatment of general hypergeometric functions. I don't know what that even means. No, so I'm not going to try to explain No.
Well, and at some point, one of our desires of what we want to do on this channel is, you know, we don't want to be the only people talking here, because as you can see, we don't understand all of this stuff, especially getting into this more complex mathematics. And so one of our desires is to have, you know, professionals, to have the people that know the subject a lot better than we do come on and talk about some of these things as well. I promise I am never going to understand all of the complexities of arithmetic geometric mean or of hypergeometric function.
Yep.
But but we do want to learn more about it, and so we want to bring on people that know these topics a lot better than we do, and so look forward to that in the future. But for now, we're kind of glossing over it, but we're kind of touching on the high level of these things just to look at the contribution of some of the most important people in the history of math.
Another highlight that I would like to say is, there's, of course, for the guys that has studied math, he's the one that started the inquiry of the convergence of infinite series. Mm. So infinite series converge to some value or to some function.
Mm-hmm.
He dived deep into that one. And one of my favorite things, and that's probably because of my background, is that he invented an algorithm to calculate the discrete Fourier transform. And for some of you that may, what's that? Discrete Fourier transform is something that we use extensively to analyze. We use it in video, we use it in audio, we use it even in sounds, So every and we can use the Fourier transform for that, but computers are more need an algorithm, a faster algorithm to calculate that. So the discrete Fourier transform is one of those, And the discrete Fourier transform that we are using right now came from a couple of mathematicians, probably 50 to 100 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But because he didn't publish this, we know that he already know a way to calculate that.
Mm-hmm.
But he feel that wasn't a finished work as
well.
He didn't publish. So this guy is really a genius, Oh, and of course you have all heard about the probability, the Gauss Bell. That guy is the one that came up with that. You want to talk about the other transformation?
Yes. Well, so talking about the normal distribution, as you said, the Gauss Bell, that has been applied in so many different ways. And when I was looking over the notes when you sent them to me, I'm like, Gauss said, why is that name? There's something that wasn't in here that was ringing a bell. Gauss Bell. But I think about it, and I realized when I use Photoshop and when I edit, videos, there's a filter called a Gauss blur.
Mm.
And it will blur the image or blur the video. And there are a number of different ways to blur in editing software. The Gauss blur has always been one of my favorites because it creates a very nice, even, soft blur.
Uh-huh.
I started reading about it. It's based on his normal distribution. So they apply his normal distribution to a pixel and all the pixels around it.
Ah.
And that's how they figure out how to blur. They adjust the color of each pixel based on the pixels around it.
Nice.
Off of his normal distribution.
Interesting. Yeah. You see, we're still using
we're still using his work today, yeah.
Another highlight of his contribution in math is the non-Euclidean geometry. So we review from, I think was episode number 2, that Euclides was one of the person that established a rigorous tower of knowledge that is called the Euclidean geometry.
Mm-hmm.
This
and
is the guy,
and that's a geometry based on a flat space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he started asking the question, what about in a curved space, how many tangents can be done through a single point, and that's, there's more than one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when non-Euclidean geometry started. So he's the founder, and that's another thing that we can see a heavy influence in Riemann, because Riemann will develop more around this. So, but his contribution doesn't end in mathematics. He also contributes in physics. He helped discover, because of course he in Göttingen University, there was also an observatory, that has been generous, funded by the Duke of Brunswick. that in that observatory he spent a lot of time, and he discovered the dwarf planet Ceres. No, with his mass, he was able to calculate, okay, if there are three positions in three different times, I can calculate, you know, the orbit of this celestial body. And he did that, and he gave us this methodology in physics, no? He is founder of geophysics, no? Which is a natural science concern in physical process and physical properties of the Earth, no? So he's the first one of a study of the magnetism of the Earth, no? So, and he invented a device to measure the magnetic field of the Earth. Actually, the magnetic field of everything, no? Even a dipole magnetic. Mm. But of course, he was using to measure the magnetic field of the Earth, no? So by doing that, he established the fundamental principles of magnetism, no? And in his invention, we have the heliotrope, which is an instrument that, you know, because he was interested in measurement, in measure the area of landscapes. And we know the Earth is not flat, it's curved. No. So in long distance, how do we measure that in long distances? Mm. No? So that was the heliotrope was an invention of him to do that. No, we already talked about the magnetometer. And there's another important contribution, the telegraph.
Wow.
He, alongside with Edward Weber, they both invent the telegraph.
Wow.
So there you go.
You imagine with all those inventions, all those discoveries, where would we be without him?
Yes.
I mean, we would probably be at least, you know, 50 years behind. I mean, we someone else probably would have come along and discovered the same things, but who knows when?
Yes, exactly. And the other thing is, you can see how these mathematicians are very tied to physics.
Mm-hmm.
So they see their math. Of course, we see a pattern here. Always the math is always advanced than the physics.
Yeah.
And the invention of things, no?
Yeah, we've talked about before, this pattern of a mathematician discovering some formula, not having any idea what it could be used for.
Uh-huh.
And then later on having a physicist or a chemist or someone else or an engineer come along and say, I need some way to describe something I'm looking at. Oh, look, here's this formula discovered, you know, 50, 100 years or more earlier.
Yeah.
This describes perfectly what I'm looking at.
Yes. Yes. And one of the things that I forgot to put in my notes is that, you know, the complex analysis and the mathematical formulas that we have from Gauss was instrumental for Maxwell to describe the electromagnetic field, the final four formulas. No. So Maxwell, we are talking about by the end of 19th century, and this is Gauss. No?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's impressive. It's really impressive. So what about Riemann?
All right, let's go on to Riemann.
He's a student, no?
Mm-hmm.
So George...
He's a student of Gauss.
Yes. Yes. Not mine. No way. I will have to learn a lot from Riemann or from Gauss, and still, you know, there will be a lot of things hard for me to understand, really hard. George Frederick Bernhard Riemann, September 1826 up to July 1866. No, so what do we know about Riemann? Riemann was a mathematician and also a German mathematician, and he contributed to analysis, number theory, differential theory, and geometry. No, one of the things that we already mentioned, he was one of the students when Gauss was a professor in Göttingen. No, and he has a lot of contributions in the real analysis. No, but the most thing that he's famous for is the formulation of the integral and the Riemann integral, and also a lot of his Fourier series. That's one thing. No?
Yeah. I have to say, in my 3 years of calculus, it was those integrals that really tripped me up the most.
Yeah, that you have to, how do I solve this?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember also in college when, you know, I have the, you have an equation, I say, so apply the transformation of Fourier. And, you know, at that time, I didn't have this modern calculator that can do that thing. So I have to do manually. I remember one of these problems, one, two or three pages to start solving that.
Yeah.
It was a long thing.
Yes. Yeah.
He was also pioneer of the differential geometry, and he founded the field Riemann geometry, no, which is a set of, we already talked about non-Euclidean geometry. No?
Mm-hmm.
Non-Euclidean geometry is every geometry that is not Euclid's, basically. No,
basically any geometry that does not deal with the
flat surface.
Flat surface, yeah.
Yes, yes. So Riemann has the Riemann geometry, no. Mm-hmm. Which is, of course, an inherit from Gauss. You can see that clearly, you know. And by doing this, he make a great contribution to general relativity.
Mm.
But here we are talking about a guy that lived from 1826 to 1876.
Mm. Wow.
And Albert Einstein is from 20 something when he came.
Yeah,
I think it's 1920.
His work started in the early 20s. Yeah.
Yes.
Or maybe late teens. Yeah.
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 So, say 100 years before.
Yeah. Well, and even you know it wasn't until, you know, I don't know when in Einstein's life where they started to look at the possibility of warped space because of gravity.
Mm-hmm.
So this work in non-Euclidean geometry, they had no way of knowing the possibility of space being warped or even what space was. You know, the understanding of what space was from the time of Gauss and Riemann to the time of Einstein, or even in the later years of Einstein's career, changed greatly.
Yes.
And so, as we've said, you know, many times, the application of this math was not understood until well after it was discovered.
Remember, Riemann deals with complex analysis. So Riemann make furthermore, because when we talk about space, we are talking about 3D. In the case of relativity, we are adding time as another dimension. But Riemann make this complex to N dimensions.
Wow.
So Einstein just get the Riemann's equation and apply for dimension 4. Wow.
And talk about difficulty in math. I remember I was a little bit of a goofball at times when I was in college. And I remember this one time I sat in the back row with two of my best friends in Calculus 3.
Uh-huh.
And I remember when we started talking about solving equations in four or more variables and talking about, okay, well, now how do you measure the area or the volume under a fourth dimensional curve?
Yeah.
And I just remember sitting in the back row and like, oh, my brain feels like it's about to explode because I'm trying to imagine
a four-dimensional
curve. The volume under a four-dimensional curve. I'm like, ow. And thanks to Riemann, this understanding math in higher dimensions more than three dimensions.
Yeah.
You can't picture it.
Yeah. No, there's no way to picture it. I cannot picture it. I remember Carl Sagan trying to make an attempt to picture how a four-dimensional cube
yeah.
will be. No? Yeah. Yeah. When I was very little, I used to look at the series.
That was a great series.
Yes.
I remember, I can picture that.
Yeah.
He actually held what he called, you know, the shadow of a four-dimensional
yes,
cube.
Yes, exactly.
Tesseract, a hypercube.
The hypercube. Yeah. There you go. And that is as far as I can picture a four-dimensional object.
So. Although I will say, uh-huh. I mean, I remember that series Cosmos very well, and it was things like that in when I was a kid that really got me interested mm-hmm. in math. To say, oh my goodness, there's something so complex that can be understood and still at the same time not understood, right?
Yeah.
It the formulas can be understood, but you can't picture
yes.
a four-dimensional cube. This is amazing that people are working this stuff out.
No, and this is great complex enough, you know. That I think we already mentioned this before, no? When we sent the man to the moon in the late 60s, we didn't use Einstein relativity equation.
Yeah.
It was too complex.
Yeah.
We used Newton.
Yeah. Well, especially thinking about the computers on the ship at the time, there was no way they could have done real time computations based on Einstein.
No way.
They used math that had been around for a long time.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I don't remember who said it, but you know, it makes me think of the phrase that, you know, we stand on the shoulder of giants.
Yes.
You know, that no one can ever say, well, this idea that I've come up with, or this theory, or this formula, mm-hmm. I have come up with it from scratch myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and you know, one of the things that we wanted to look at mm-hmm. in this section of math, looking mm-hmm. at the history of math, is the fact that, you know, Riemann's and Gauss's formulas and theories were built upon Euclid.
Yes.
And all of the mathematicians since then. You know, that math is something that has been slowly developed and discovered over hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
But every step is built on the step that came before them.
Yes. There is a caveat also with Riemann. So I mentioned before, Riemann, like his teacher Gauss, he didn't want to publish anything that was not complete.
Mm-hmm. No?
So all what we know from Riemann was from the little thing that he published. And I find in the notes that when he died, his you know, one of his servants was, you know, he trashed the whole things. So we may lost a lot that Riemann has think about contribute because
mm-hmm.
of that,
mm-hmm.
no? And but Riemann also, you know, it didn't say, but we don't have to. He was also a prodigy child, because, you know, he has a lot of contributions, but he died early. He died at 39 years old.
Oh.
No, so imagine if he can live more. Imagine if his work that has not been published,
mm-hmm.
you know, came up to the light. Mm-hmm. We don't have that opportunity with him right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, the there is a lot of mystery of work that will keep in mystery because of this mm-hmm. event after his death.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the personality of who was Riemann. No, we also found that his father was a poor Lutheran pastor, no? And he was the second of six children there, no? But of course, he was brilliant in mathematics. And mm-hmm. and this is something really interesting, no? So one of the things that we know about this the personality of Riemann, no?
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 19, he studied philology and Christian theology mm-hmm. in order to become a pastor and help with his family finance.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's interesting. The philology, I looked that up. You know, it's the study of language and the structure of language. So, you know, just like you're saying, just like Gauss.
Yes,
you know, just like math Gauss. And language.
Yes.
It's an interesting combination.
Another thing that I want to highlight is he wants to study that because he wants to help his family,
mm-hmm.
if his family finds. So you can see a little more of his personality here. And we also have that Riemann was a dedicated Christian, no? And he saw his life as a mathematician as another way to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have another personality, another big, brilliant mind that thinks, you know, that doesn't think because of math there's no God.
Mm-hmm.
No. He clearly understands that math was another way to serve God.
Mm-hmm. The quote that you gave from Gauss.
Yes.
That God arithmetizes.
Yes.
That, you know, and I think it was the last episode we looked, there was an image that we looked at of God with a compass.
Yeah.
That looking at God as the great mathematician,
mm-hmm.
that it's very easy to get a picture of God as just this old man who sits up on the cloud and says, you can do this, you can't do that, you know, just giving us rules. I like to look at God as more of a mathematician. I mean, yeah. He has set a structure
mm-hmm.
to the universe.
Yeah.
And he understands the math of all of it. You know, how it all works together, how it all interacts. You know, at some point we're going to talk more about, you know, the levels of infinity.
Yes.
And how much bigger one level of infinity is than the one below it.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that God looks down on all of the universe, all of creation, and maybe multiple universes, we don't know, but God sees all of that and sees how it all fits together and not only understands, but has created the math for all of it.
And that is the exact thing that I want to highlight, because there is an order
mm-hmm.
in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's if you think about that, you know, in order to discover what is that order, you have to assume that there is an order.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Absolutely.
But who gave that order? That's yeah. something that yeah. People doesn't start to think about that, no?
Yeah.
And the other thing is that how can a person in his mind come up with a mathematical formula, and years later, that is the instrument that we need to understand mm. another piece of our universe.
Mm-hmm.
That means that it has to be written in that language.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be there prior us.
Yeah.
It precedes us, and we are discovering in this path. No, so. There's no way chance can do that.
Right. You know, that is
there's no way chance can do that.
Yeah, that's a topic that I would love to have a conversation with a mathematician.
Yes. About. Yes.
What does it mean when a formula is discovered that is then applied? So if you are a mathematician, or if you know a mathematician, you know, someone that is a professor in math, or you know, someone that works in the area, especially in theoretical math, let us know. We would love to have you on and to talk to you about this topic.
I would like to end this part with Riemann's, what is written in Riemann's tombstone. No, so I'm quoting here from. And this part refers to Romans 8:28, no? That's what is written in his tombstone right now. Here rests in God George Frederick Bernhard Riemann, professor in Göttingen, born in Breslin's 17 September 1826, died in Selaska, 20 July 1866. For those who love God, all things must work together for the best.
Mm.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's beautiful. And so if you are somebody that is watching these videos and you have heard in your whole the college history, you know, that because of science or because of math, we don't need God. That's not the way that most of the brains in our history of math mm-hmm. are looking this.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, and back to what you said just a minute ago, the study of math is the study of order.
Yes.
The study of science is the study of order. We're trying to understand, in studying math and studying science, we're trying to understand the universe, how the universe works, how everything fits together. The structure, especially looking at math, the structure of everything,
mm-hmm.
how can we write a formula to describe motion
mm-hmm.
or any property of the universe? In the history of the study of mathematics and science, as you said, you need to assume that the universe is ordered.
Yes.
And people studied the order of the universe because they assumed that there was a God that put order to it.
Yeah.
That it's not just randomness. It's not just, it's not chaos.
It's not chance. It's not chaos. I completely agree with you. Yes.
At some point, I would love to have a conversation about chaos theory. Because, you know, people talk about that as and to yes. say, well, because there's this chaos theory, it must mean there's no order to anything, which is absolutely not true.
We have to distinct chaos from chaos theory.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because even in the case of chaos theory, we always find something that is called the attractor.
Mm-hmm.
And the attractor, it's given certain conditions, or given any condition of a system, of a chaotic system,
mm-hmm.
it came up ending in that attractor loop.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, there's yeah. more to come. That yeah. that can be another video yeah, that'll
definitely be another video.
Because that's big
but,
thing.
But as you said, you know, and I love looking at this, the verse that he has on his tombstone, for those who love God, all things must work together for the best.
Yes.
It's a paraphrase of Romans 8:28.
Mm-hmm.
But think about that. All things must work together. Now, think about that from the mind of a mathematician.
Mm-hmm.
All things must work together with this image of all these formulas work together.
Mm-hmm.
It shows this order, and it shows that in his faith that all of these things work together because God placed them there. And because we believe that God is love, then all of this must work together for the good, because that's God's intention. God wants everything to work together for us to love him, to love each other, and to work for a world that is in harmony.
Yeah,
with nature, with each other.
This also reminds me the psalm that says, "The heaven and the cares declares the glory of the Creator, of mm-hmm. the Lord." No, so it's really amazing. And these mathematicians that we are looking at, they saw that,
mm-hmm.
and they saw, wow, what a wonderful Creator, what a wonderful God that make all of this mm-hmm. so beautiful, so complex, yeah. no, and in such an order, no, and. Yeah, but
yeah.
after that, I'm a specialist.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as we've seen, we've looked at two more brilliant mathematicians in history.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have one more mm-hmm. episode on the history of math, and then we're going to continue on after that.
Yep.
But we hope you've enjoyed this conversation today and so far in all these episodes. If you have any thoughts, any corrections, anything that we might have made a mistake on, please let us know in the comments. We want you to be part of this conversation. If you want to keep in touch with us, you can go to thatnerdycatholic.com and there is a contact form. If you are a mathematician or if you are someone that works in the area, especially in theoretical math, please connect with us. We would love to, you know, look at the possibility of having you on for a conversation. We want this to be more than just the two of us saying the what little we actually understand about this topic. If you want to be updated with what we're putting out, you can go to thatnerdycatholic.com and sign up for our email list. If you think that we've earned it, we would really appreciate it if you would subscribe to this channel, hit that bell notification to get an update on YouTube whenever we put out a new video, and you know, like and comment on this video. Share it with your friends, especially those nerds in your life. If you like the merch that we're wearing, you can go to thatnerdycatholic.com/merch to get your own t-shirt or mug to let the world know that you are indeed a nerdy Catholic. And I just want to thank you for joining us today. We hope to see you again next week.
Thank you.
System shut down.